Are we turning away billions? Billions, because at heart we're NIMBYs, always whinging for progress, but just not in our backyard. Recently, we've found ourselves struggling with a whole range of proposals. Just think about it. Airport extensions, dual carriageways, fracking, golf courses, John Lewis. Now the no campaigners are reeling against plans for an incinerator near Mollusc in County Antrim. Now, it's a £240 million plant, or it would be. It would take waste from 11 council areas here. It could create 340 jobs, generate enough power for 30,000 homes. So what's wrong with that? Well, some people are saying, no way. The South East Antrim UUP MLA, Danny Kinahan with us this morning. Morning, Danny.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. And the commentator, David Vance, with us too. Morning to you, David.
Good morning, Stephen.
What's the score, Danny?
The score is that we have, as a society, got to find a way of dealing with our waste. And this plan is to put it into a quarry, which seems initially the right thing to be doing. But it has to go, have to have 118 lorries driving through residence areas to get to the quarry. So it's not a question of yes or no. We've got serious concerns. We've got to look at the plan seriously and see whether you can actually do it in a way so that the residents can live their normal lives next to it.
And have you looked at the plan seriously?
I've seen the plans. I probably could look at them more seriously than I have, but it is for a large structure deep down in the quarry. But it is a mass of lorries going through residence areas on either the Highgrove Road, the Mollusc Road, from all directions, all day long. And in Cottonmount, despite great efforts and working with really good staff there, we endlessly have problems with dirt, flies, smell, noise, and yet this is a completely different plan. It shouldn't have any of those problems. We've got to look at it seriously, but make sure we look after the residents.
It's 118 lorry drivers, isn't it? Getting a job.
It is jobs, and that's why we've got to look at it seriously. I'm not, as you went earlier in the thing, saying no, but at the same time, I'm not saying yes. We've got to get it right.
But how long has this been around? Why can't we ever focus in on a decision in this country?
Well, we do focus on decisions. The decision, sadly, was made down on the Loch Shore not to put it there. So they've had to relook, and here you have the company starting again with another site, and we've got to look at that and find out whether we can get it to fit into society or not.
So these lorries that would be driving past people's homes, obviously you're a far cry away from that. You live in a castle, isn't that right?
That's got nothing to do with it, but yes, they do. But I used to live up in Mollusc, and I'm up there often helping them with their issues.
And these people who would be having to put up with these lawyers, like, where do you sit on that issue in terms of, obviously, some homes will be disrupted against employment for Northern Ireland?
I'm there to make sure that those people who are going to have their lives wrecked don't have them wrecked, i.e. you've got to make sure that the roads are sorted out, the traffic doesn't affect the houses, that all the safety regards that the environment agencies have to check are in place, but the company, and I know it's already doing this, is talking to the residents, taking them along with it. Now, a few years ago, we visited a energy from waste site in Sheffield, and they had huge opposition against it in Sheffield, but in time, they took everyone there and took them through, and they had monthly meetings, and after about a year, nobody came to the monthly meetings because everybody was happy with it. That's how you've got to get there, so that you keep the jobs and you manage it, but you've got to look at the site and say, is this the best site? Can it work? And can it work best for the residents?
David Vance?
Well, Stephen, I mean, again, Northern Ireland shows it's a world leader in saying no. No to, at a time when we've got, 61,000 people or so without a job, we're happy enough to turn down an additional 340 jobs. We have a construction industry on its knees. Here's another chance to do something to help local construction. And we're saying, we're not saying yes. And so I think that the problem is...
Well, would you want 100-odd lawyers driving past your house every day?
Stephen, just up the road from me, there's a major haulage company and their lorries pass my house every morning. You know, NIMBYism, I'm afraid, is an indulgence that you just can't afford in this kind of economy. Also, you know, what's wrong with lorries driving on the roads? They pay to be on the roads, so there's nothing wrong in that. Look, the fundamental issue here is we have an economy...
It's carrying dirt, David.
Pardon?
It's carrying dirt. It's carrying waste.
And creating jobs. what's wrong? I mean, can we afford to turn away jobs? It seems some politicians think that we can. We turned them away at Lisburn when it came to John Lewis. We've turned them away at almost every major capital construction opportunity we've had. It's what we do. And then we turn around and whinge when the dole queues deepen and the construction industry is on its knees. I mean, honestly, Stephen, some people need to have a good look in the mirror and ask themselves, is saying no all the time a way to develop an economy? In my view, it's really not.
What happens in the process, Danny? The rubbish is then burnt to generate power, right?
Yes. It goes through. It's not quite as clean as being burnt. I think it's baked and fired at certain levels. They clean out of it all the toxicity, all the fumes, and everything is done inside in the sealed units. And, you know, so you shouldn't be getting the flies, you shouldn't be getting the smells. You should be getting something that's actually nicer to the environment than almost all the other things that we do on a daily basis.
Provides power for 30,000 homes.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not, you know, this isn't a yes or no. This is a how do we make it work? How do we get there? But we have to look at the residents and how we sort out the roads, how we sort out how they live next to something like this. And if we can't sort that out, then it becomes a no. But at the moment, you don't want to make it cut and dried one way or the other.
Yeah, Danny, do you think your constituency can afford to do without those jobs?
No, I think our constituents want as many jobs as they can in every area, and that's where Northern Ireland is bad. It's not this NIMBYism. It's actually just finding the right ways forward so that we bring in the jobs and that we do things instead of having this endless battle.
I disagree. When we had a real opportunity for investment, for example, up at the North Coast at the golf course, that was opposed. When we had it at John Lewis, that was opposed. When we have it now at this waste disposal, that's being opposed. What we do, Danny, is we oppose opportunity and then we complain. And surely, you know, whilst understandably no one wants to have things put on people's doorsteps that might be unpleasant and whatnot, on the other hand, what's the alternative? Just to sit back and enjoy the benefits of unemployment.
I mean, no, we have to find a way forward, but you have to go through the democratic system, and the democratic system allows people to oppose.
Well, of course the democratic system does, but the democratic system also surely has a requirement to help create jobs. This is about jobs, Danny.
That's what it is, and therefore the decision will be made by the Environment Minister, having listened to the concerns of the residents and us politicians, and that is how the system works.
It was the democratic system, Danny, that kept John Lewis waiting 10 years, wasn't it?
No, and I'm not going to get into that one.
But that's a fact. Why not? Answer the question, Danny. You know, 10 years of inertia. That's the price we paid at Sprucefield for the John Lewis development, and we've got nothing. And that can be led firmly and squarely at the doors of Stormont. They had the opportunity. The ministers involved serially turned it down.
I agree entirely, and we get things wrong. We have got to learn to be better at what we're doing, and at the moment we are not good.
Yeah, but how long will it take? How many people are going to be added to the dole queues whilst we get it right? I mean, 61,000 at the moment, Danny. Where does it stop?
I agree with you, but we are a smaller party. We can't rock the two big parties. We need a change in our election system, and then it comes to the choice of the public when it gets to each election.
Here's Artie in Belfast. Morning, Artie.
Hello, good morning, Stephen.
Morning. You sound excited today.
Well, not excited. I've been out walking this morning, taking in the air. But I have worked in Mollusc for over 30 years and live in the vicinity as well, Stephen.
Right.
And I would say on an average day, we would have 10,000 vehicles going through Mollusc. 100 more lorries would be 0.01% more. Totally negligible. And not one of those vehicles would be going through a residential area.
We need 10,000 vehicles going through Mollusc.
Stephen, have you never been up around that? It's a very, very heavily built-up industrial area.
No, I very rarely go near Mollusc. What would you go up to Mollusc for?
You should get out more, Stephen.
You would know where McDonald's and the nearest bun shop, if you forgive me, would be. But outside of that, you're quite limited.
Yes.
But up in Mollusc, now, it's bringing much-needed work from different directions, not only in transport. And it's not gone through any residential areas whatsoever. Those lorries would be strictly on main roads. Now,
what do you think about this general point that's been made this morning, suggested this morning, Artie, that we seem to take a long time in Northern Ireland and then we want to say no instinctively. Well, no, there's a problem. No, we can't make things happen.
There's a tendency here to dither and to stay in the past, and no one wants to move forward. Technology has taken over from industry. We have to move forward. If no one had ever done, we wouldn't have had the wheel, Stephen, if you take it to that.
You see, I wonder, are we being fair this morning? Because there will be some politicians driving down the road listening to this, slamming the steering wheel, as they often do, listening to this programme, and they'll be thinking to themselves, look at the Titanic building. We made that happen. There's just one example of something that we made happen, that government made happen.
That is quite correct. Someone proposed the Titanic building, and apart from there were initial dubious thoughts about it, it had 700,000 visitors last year. All feet on the ground spending money here. It can only help people. Now, think of this new incinerator. We'll have to get rid of the rubbish somewhere. We've been turning a blind eye for too many years. It has to be at least given consideration. And first, look at it.
Okay, Artie, thank you very much indeed. Here's the number this morning, 08459 555 678. The text, 81771. The email, nolan@bbc.co.uk. At Stephen Nolan on Twitter. Just to go off on a tangent for a second or two, do you think, Danny Kinahan, we have the right entrepreneurial attitude and spirit in Northern Ireland to actually realise that you've got to create jobs, that we've got to bond together to make this place better?
I think we certainly have that spirit here. I think we are very bad up at the at Stormont at making sure that we listen to it and work with it. The trouble is, there's a sort of disjoint between politicians and with businessmen. The businesses are all so busy doing everything else, they don't have enough time to educate everybody up at Stormont. And the people at Stormont don't have the experience to do it. But we have got to get better, because we are very, very poor at tapping that entrepreneurial spirit. And we've got to look outside Northern Ireland, because Northern Ireland has so many fantastic things that we can export. And at the same time, we should be linking to all our Northern Irish and Irish worldwide to make them help the country.
Here's Albert. Morning, Albert.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I was just thinking, the people that moved into the Hightown area and into Mollusc knew that there was an industrial estate, a massive industrial estate, right on their doorstep. And there's hundreds of lorries move around that area day and daily from early morning. And they never complained one iota about them. And basically, and the main roads, the Hightown Road, the Mollusc Road, and the Roughford Road is basically lorries on it day and daily. And to have another few lorries basically on it, and look at our waste, our bin lorries. Sure, they're around our estates week in and week out, and they're moving rubbish about. And nobody complains about it. And what's going to happen in 3 or 4 years' time when the European Union hit us with a big fine? Who's going to pay for that? That's going to come out of our money, which is not going to be able to invest in our wee province again. And we're going to be fined. So we have to find somewhere. And what I will be asking, if this gets the go-ahead, is I'm only 2 miles from where they're talking about putting this incinerator. Am I going to get cheaper electricity out of it? That's what I'll be looking, and probably the people that live around my area will be asking.
Danny?
Yes, he's got a very good point. They should all be getting cheaper electricity from it. But I want to correct him. I have been to endless meetings complaining about the state of the roads up there. And it's not NIMBYism. They would like the roads improved. They'd like pedestrian crossings, because the number of people living there have grown. Children have got across the roads to get safely to buses. You have this traffic you all the time with lorries. There's not good speeding control. There's a whole lot of issues that need to be resolved before we make the decision. I'm not saying no.
Okay.
You've got to get things right. Danny.
Here's Harry this morning. Morning, Harry.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Harry.
Hello?
Go ahead, Harry.
How you doing, mate? Well, my old point of view is, mate, the politicians up on the hill, I mean, they're looking at a £5,000 pay rate. Well, they're taking a £5,000 pay raise, right?
Well, the SDLP isn't. The SDLP have turned it down.
The SDLP have turned it down.
The Duppers are taking it. Also, you taking your £5,000 pay rise, Danny Kinahan?
I'm going to put it into my offices, because the daft thing is they've taken the £5,000 off the offices, which is where we do our work for the people on the ground.
Well, of course, this whole stuff about you're putting it into your offices, of course, what many families are having to do up and down the country is make efficiency savings. They're having to have their budget cut and actually do things cheaper. So you could cut your expenses in your offices, Danny, and turn down the £5,000, but you're going to take the £5,000,
aren't you? I've already had to cut an office in Ballyclare, which I'm now trying to find a way to cover the patch from doing the same. So I've already done that. We're all doing it all the time. This was an independent decision, and let's make it work work for the people.
But your party has made it clear that each individual member has a choice whether to take the money or not. You're pocketing the £5,000, aren't you?
I'm not pocketing it. I'm putting it into my office.
But why can't you make the savings in your office like many households have to do? Because many households up and down the country, when they've got higher bills and less wages, they've got to find the cuts from somewhere. No one's handing them £5,000.
That's right, but this is being given to us to do our job better. And so or rather, I'm going to make sure that's being given to do, and it'll be put into the office and allows me to cover the patch. Remember, I'm the only Ulster unionist at the moment in South Antrim, and I want to see many more Ulster unionists here.
Well, with that kind of attitude, Danny, I doubt you're going to. The fact is that, you know, as Stephen said, everyone else has to roll up their sleeves, become more efficient on less money. Only at Stormont do we have this strange regime that thinks it should have more and more money. So it is something you mentioned earlier, Danny. It's a great example of the detachment between the political class at Stormont and the ordinary people on the ground.
Let's let Harry come back here. Go ahead, Harry.
Stephen, well, he's talking about putting it into his office.
Don't be speaking to me. Speak to him directly.
I'm listening.
Well, Danny, what you're saying about putting it into your office, right? Well, why aren't you doing something to help the ordinary people on the ground that's out there trying to make a living? Everything in this country is far too dear, especially at diesel. For taxi drivers, are getting hammered at the minute between tax, diesel, petrol. You know, you're all running about there getting swarmed about in your cars and all. Do you know what I mean? It's not fair. Let's be realistic here. Yeah,
but do you know what's also not fair, Harry?
Yeah.
And Danny, you'll maybe take a heart attack and fall down right now, but I'm about to defend you lot now.
Thank you.
But what's not fair, Harry, are these sweeping statements about politicians in this country, many of whom work hard. They are not on. There are many people in Northern Ireland who are on more than the politicians, who work less. Some of these guys pump in a lot of hours.
That's our choice.
But these politicians are part of our country. They live in, they're not aliens. Yeah. They live and work among us.
Let's see them coming out and let's see them doing something for the people.
Exactly.
Instead of sitting back there. Do you know what I mean? Let them see if they can get the price of fuel down, the price of oil down. They're not doing anything, Stephen. All they do is sit up there and argue about stupid things. Like that fellow was on saying about the John Lewis store, right? That should have went ahead. That creates jobs. No. That's all they can say up there is no, because they don't know. They haven't a clue.
The First Minister and the Deputy First Minister are out
them
in
Brazil. Them two's like two puppets, Stephen. That's the truth.
They're out in Brazil at the minute trying to...
Oh, yes. And they're in Hong Kong. Swanning. Do you know what I mean? That's what they're doing.
Swanning. They're out trying to bring work back to Northern Ireland to help this economy.
And I bet you they're sitting out there with a pina colada, Martin McGuinness. You know, he's probably out there trying to get something for, I don't know, I'd love to say it, but I can't.
Well, then don't. David Vance.
Yeah, the point perhaps is, Stephen, that, you know, leaving aside the rewards that the political class have, and you said we'll park that argument, on the broader point of trying to make Northern Ireland work better, I think, you know, we won't achieve anything if we just keep saying no to every opportunity that comes along. Opportunities in life, you know, don't necessarily come very often, and in my experience, when they do come, Stephen, you grab them. That's a simple lesson that even a politician should hopefully be able to understand.
Danny?
I agree with him, we grab them, but we have to get them to fit into society. And it's just not as straight as he's going. But, I mean, so much you've been discussing in the last few minutes, and we are, almost all of us, out there listening to people on the ground, knocking on doors, going to community meetings, finding out what their issues. Some things we can resolve at Westminster, some at Stormont, and some in council.
Is it true that one of the projects that there has been a yes to is a brand new roof on Stormont?
I have not heard anything there.
Apparently, it's also been passed that there's going to be these beautiful new solar panels and all on a state-of-the-art roof.
They're probably pulling a swimming pool then too, Stephen.
Is that true, Danny?
I have never heard that, but presumably it's going to bring in cost savings, it's going to bring in jobs and do various things, but
so
I've certainly heard nothing
about
that.
Danny, then, would you? You wouldn't be so quick to oppose that as you would this other development.
I might if it was my office that was going to have kicking me out of it. No, I wouldn't. We've got to hear more about that. I've never heard about it.
Yeah, well, I can confirm there is a new roof going on, Stormont. Brand new solar panels, state-of-the-art roof, all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, the other side of this, Harry, is that you laugh, and the other side of this is,
yes,
you know, you don't want the politicians walking through Stormont getting soaked with a leak in the roof, do you?
No, you can't have that there, Steve. Not at all. They need to be well looked after and pampered, mate, so they. You know what I mean? They're getting spoon-fed next to the wall.
They're marble corridors and their solar-powered roof, the detachment of the political class manifest.
Well, you tried to be part of it and failed,
and
didn't
wanted
you?
To change it, and that's good. And furthermore, Stephen, if we're going to discuss my political record every time I come on the programme, that really isn't to the point under discussion, is it?
What do you mean it's not to the point? Of course it's part of
the
discussion.
Is, how do we
As you criticise these
Stephen,
guys, you tried to be part of that club.
You're dismally dragging up my political record. It's absolutely pointless,
well,
apart from the little thrill you get from
well,
it.
Well, there's no little thrill at all, I can assure you,
I'm not
David.
At this end as well, Stephen.
But the point is this. You criticise a group of people and you tried to join their club.
Stephen, if you seek to change something and radically alter it, it's a rather strange argument to then somehow imply, as you are, that I want to be part of what we now have. Surely even you can understand that.
Clyde Shanks is with us this morning from the Beacon Consortium. You're trying to put this incinerator project together, Clyde, is that right?
That's right, Stephen, and indeed yesterday was the public launch of the project. The project is still obviously a pre-application stage, and really yesterday was all about beginning a process of actually explaining what the project is all about and putting information into the public domain at this stage in a project which hitherto has never been done for such a major project here.
Well, it's going to be major disruption for local residents, isn't it?
In terms of major disruption, there will be some initial short-term disruption when the expansion and the widening of the Bog Hill Road up to the site takes place. That really will be a very short-term disruption of maybe 4 to 6 weeks as that road comes on stream. But again, I don't accept that there's going to be major disruption. I think the level of detail that we've actually provided on the project website as of yesterday gives people a sense of the considerable detailed assessment that's been undertaken to ensure that we can get people comfortable with the project and they can understand that the wider area is very well suited to absorb the level of development we're proposing.
And yet people are talking about hundreds of these vehicles going past residents and all that brings.
I'd just like to set that in context, Stephen, because I made the point yesterday when I was interviewed for Radio Ulster News to put the planning history of the site that we've identified for the project into context. It is an operational quarry site. It benefits from an unrestricted planning permission. It is a history for over several years, going back to the 1960s, as a quarry, and indeed has operated where there has been significant heavy goods vehicle in and out of the quarry, given the usage on the site. To put that in context, again, the transportation assessment that's been undertaken for the project has benefited from the Weybridge data that we've been able to get from the Hightown quarry site, and indeed...
Would you be happy living beside it?
I would be entirely happy living beside, and indeed these types of facilities are commonplace in very heavily urbanised areas, not just in the UK but elsewhere within Europe.
Okay, Clyde, thank you very much indeed. Danny Kinahan, just before you go this morning, did you watch the BBC Spotlight programme last night?
I did watch it. I don't want to comment it.
During the programme, it was revealed that at the start of last year, the DUP and Ulster Unionist Party members discussed merging the parties. Did you know about that?
I didn't know about it. I know that there was a whole mass of people who wanted us to look at all options, and I know that's the things going on all the time, but I'm not going to get into that. I'm here to talk about Mollusc, and I want to see the last caller you were talking to.
Sure. How would you feel about a merger?
I'm not going into that today. I have full support for my party leader in Mike Nesbitt. I think we want to offer ourselves as the alternative to the DUP. I don't want a merger. I want to see our party replacing them in Stormont
and governing the country.
Well, you could get a few jobs. Well, Mike Nesbitt, first of all, to be fair to him, he made it clear that he would not support a merger either. But there's something very, very strange because, you know, you front page of the newsletter today, your former leader, Tom Elliott, saying that he did not sanction talks on a merger. And yet the BBC is stating, as a matter of fact, that there were talks about a merger. So the leader leader at the time didn't support it, and yet the talks were happening. How does this stack up?
I think if you watched the whole programme, it showed that the party need to have tighter discipline because too many people were going in different directions. We need to talk to everybody all the time, and any party leader should be sanctioning that. If people start going off doing their own thing, you end up where we are, and I fully support my leader.
Okay,
I really think we must hold good discipline, and that's the way that people start believing.
And final question on this. What headline distinguishing policy can you give me between the DUP and the UUP?
Education. At the moment, I'm education spokesman. We have a policy to get a proper alternative to ESA into the thing, and the bill that we've got is wrong. We are opposing it all the way through, and we've got to get something in that looks after the disadvantaged in their schools at the same time as protects the grammar system and gets them both working together so we have the best for our children.